All right, so let's look at this. We're going to look at appreciating the Holy Spirit this morning, as we said. And we've been talking about prayer this year. 2020 is our year of prayer. 4 months into that. So I thought it would be good to review a little bit of where we've been. We've talked about prayer as this idea of communicating, communing to God. So our first question is that prayer, if you can see the whole screen, and prayer is a what kind of activity more than a what kind of activity. And your two options are relational and religious. So which goes where? Anybody want to take a shot at it?
Relational. Okay. Religious.
Good. So prayer is a relational more than a religious. Good. You might have guessed that these are not going to be difficult. But just to help us think through. Yeah, prayer is a relational activity. And we all know that. We've all heard that Christianity is not a religion as much as a relationship. But we just want to continually remind ourselves, because the shoulds that we hear can quickly become our motivating factor. And if prayer is a religious activity, that means we just do it to get some kind of merit or bonus points, or we might say brownie points in our modern vernacular. But the point of prayer in the Christian tradition actually has nothing to do with merit. Our merit's already taken care of by Jesus. It has to do with our relationship that we're being invited into and cultivating that relationship. And that's such a foundation. We never want to talk about prayer without remembering that it is fundamentally at the core a relational activity, building our heart's connection with God, our Father, who has invited us into that. So we want to keep building that relationship. And we're going to talk more about that today. And then we looked at some of Jesus' prayers in January and February. And we looked at last 2 months, we've looked at some of Paul's prayers in Colossians 1 and Philippians 1. And in Jesus' prayer, we remember that Jesus taught us to pray to the word is scrambled below there, if you can unscramble the words. What did Jesus taught us to pray to our, anybody got that one? It's a tough one. Not raft. Do our, did somebody type it in? This share screen stuff is hard to see.
Father who art in heaven.
Good, yeah, our Father, right? And we talked about how that is so fundamental to our understanding of, oh, there we go. That's how I can see my chat. All right, Josiah, maybe Grace actually got that one. Thanks, Grace. We talked about how that's so fundamental to this relational aspect. If our understanding or our not understanding of who God is as our Father, it will greatly affect our ability to come to Him in prayer and build that relationship. It'll always be a little bit skewed. So then we looked at Jesus and Paul's prayers, and we talked about how Jesus in John 17 and then Paul in Colossians 1 and Philippians 1, they were praying for people. And if you remember, were these people doing well or were they doing terrible? The people that Jesus was praying for and the people that Paul was praying for in Colossians 1 and Philippians 1. Which one? Doing well or doing terrible? Do you remember? Usually we think about people praying for people who are doing terrible, right? But is that the case or not the case with these guys? It's not the case, right? They were praying for people who were doing well. Remember, Paul was studying in Colossians. Jesus said in his John 17 that I have given them everything. They have received me. They have loved me. They have walked with me, and yet please protect them, Father. We looked at that in John 17. And then Colossians 1 and Philippians 1, Paul's saying, I'm so thankful for how God is at work in you to see your faith and love and commitment to Jesus. And now I'm asking, right? In Colossians 1, that God would give you this all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. And in Philippians 1 that we've been memorizing this month, pray that your love would abound more and more knowledge, depth of insight. So we see again that as we come and walk with Jesus, there's this importance of praying that the life of God continues to flow through us. And it continues to grow, even as it's been doing. And then on Easter, we talked about how this seed of the resurrection new life grows. But sometimes we miss it, or sometimes we forget about it because of all the pressures and stress of our daily lives, like stepping on the pea plant that I just saw coming up in my garden. I have a nice fence around it this year, so I don't think I'll step on it. But we have to remind each other of how we see God at work, of how we see signs of the resurrection, so that we don't forget about it, that we continue to nurture it, and it continues to come. And then last week, Tim took us even a little deeper and actually helped us think about what are the ways that our perspective of Jesus or God's work in the world gets skewed by our own desires or experiences. And he gave us four ways. So here they are. But I took some words out. Does anybody remember the parts of speech that are a little bit off? I didn't take time to go through that. But does anybody remember the four things that Tim said that could skew our understanding of how Jesus is at work in the world? You remember any of these? Anybody want to shout them out? Can I unmute and shout them out if you want? Oh, Tim. I know, it's so awkward.
First one's political.
Okay, so we can think of Jesus, as only political, right? Yep, that was one. Remember any of the others?
Therapeutic.
Good, yeah, therapeutic. So Jesus is just here to make me feel better about myself and about life. The other two are kind of subsets of therapeutic, maybe, in a way. Anybody else want to yell one out? So the other two were healer, right? That Jesus is just here to heal and take away all my pain, maybe physical pain or other pain. And the last one is provider, that he's just here to take care of my needs. And as Tim said, all those things are true in a sense. They are parts of how Jesus is at work in the world. But if any of those become the thing that Jesus is about, really it's about me and not about what Jesus wants to do in the world. And as I was reflecting on this, and as we see the disciples, they're confused all the way even until the end. I was just remembering this week again that story of them on their way to Jerusalem, and the Samaritan village wouldn't receive them. And so the disciples are like, should we call down fire from heaven and destroy these guys? And Jesus just looks at them like, oh, where is that coming from? No, we're not here to destroy people. Or then at the very end, even they're saying, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? So again, this very political view of we're going to be in power and our enemies are going to be destroyed. And Jesus says, no, this is not what I'm about. And so Tim was reminding us that they were confused, and sometimes we get confused. So how do we grow in our relationship with God without getting into these pitfalls and getting our perspective skewed for what God is really about in the world? And that's why we come to this kind of appreciation of the Holy Spirit. The disciples were confused until the Holy Spirit came. And they still had some growing to do after the Holy Spirit came. But suddenly things that they could not understand before, even though they had spent so much time with Jesus, suddenly became clear. And so Peter walks out of that room after Pentecost and starts declaring what he could not understand before to all the people in Jerusalem. And that's what our passage is about this morning, as Dave read it for us, that we will avoid these pitfalls and grow in our relationship with God in helpful and healthy ways as the Holy Spirit continues to lead us into deeper truths of God. But we want to remember this morning that we are absolutely dependent on the Holy Spirit to lead us into this. We cannot think ourselves into the things of God. And so Paul tells us in these verses, if you have your Bibles there, this is such a great passage. If you have time to read all of chapter 1 and 2, it's so helpful to ground us again in this reality that we are absolutely dependent on ever-increasing, deeper surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Otherwise, we're going to get taken off into one of these extremes that begin to make God in our own image rather than allowing us to be made in God's image. So in verse 9 and 10, Paul tells us, however, as it's written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, these things God has prepared for them who love him. For God has revealed them to us by his Holy Spirit. So we see that the things that are in the heart of God and the mind of God come to us through this surrender and openness to his work through his Spirit. And then it says these other things in verses 10, 11, and 12. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit within? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. So we are the deep things of God. If you can imagine, the deep things of God are available to us through the Holy Spirit. He takes what is God's and he makes it known to us. That's what Jesus said in John 16. He said that he would take from what is Jesus's or the Father's and he would make it known to us. This is an incredible gift of the Holy Spirit with us. And then in verse 13 and 14, we receive the things that are from God. And then through that same Spirit, we get to speak the things that are of God. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. So that's an amazing gift the Holy Spirit gives us, is that we don't have to only speak from our own thinking, what we can figure out at our own logic and perspective, but we can begin to speak as we receive the things that are of God. Then we can also speak the things that are of God with those around us. And so this is not new things, right? But most of our Christian life, as we've said, is not new revelations, but it's deeper and deeper, bringing us back to the core realities of our life. And that core reality that we want to remember this morning is this incredible gift that the Holy Spirit allows us to walk in the things of God and understand what we cannot understand with our own thinking. And I didn't say this in the announcements, but on Tuesday evening this week, we're going to have our monthly prayer equipping training time. And we're going to talk on Zoom a little more about this, how the Holy Spirit leads us into freedom and how he wants to use us to lead others into healing and freedom as well. And this is one of the verses we're going to be talking about and some others. But we're going to have some time to dive even deeper into this reality of the Holy Spirit leading us into the things of God. But this morning, we just want to remember and be reminded that, again, prayer is a relational activity. If we want to continue to cultivate our appreciation and interaction with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we'll stay on a very human level, and the things of God will never be able to flow into us and through us. I remember a couple weeks ago, it's probably more like a couple months ago now, one time as I was praying, I just felt like I had this image of a clear glass globe, not the world globe, but like a glass sphere kind of floating. And it was a dark background, but I could see inside this glass sphere that there were like jewels floating around. And I felt like God said that he reminded me that there are such treasures in his heart that he wants to share with us if we will continue to seek him and set our hearts to know him. And I didn't see what all the jewels were, of course, but I knew a couple of them that I felt like the sense was there were things like humility and joy and healing and freedom, all these incredible things that make life good in whatever outward circumstance that we find ourselves in. Not that the outward circumstance is good, but there's inner realities that allow us to live well in any circumstance. And I felt like God said, I have so much of this, Troy. There are so much of this treasure in my heart that I want to share with you. And I, every time I think about that, it just makes me want to continue to allow the Holy Spirit to lead me deeper into these treasures that are in the heart of God that he wants to share with us. But as Tim reminded us last week, and as Jesus and Paul both knew so well, and that's why they would pray in these incredible prayers, it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get a skewed perspective that takes us away from the treasures that God wants to share with us and into lesser things. But as we cultivate this relationship with the Holy Spirit, he is able to lead us away from the distractions and the unhelpful rabbit trails into the things that God wants to share with us. So this morning, we're just going to do some reflection on how do we build this awareness and appreciation of the Holy Spirit with us. And I just want to reflect on kind of three basic steps of any relationship with people, and then use that to reflect on our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to do that through three simple exercises together this morning. But if we're going to build a relationship with any person, of course, the first thing we have to do is be aware of that person. We have to realize that they exist and they're there and they're actually a person. That might sound very simple, but we all know that most of the people around us, we are not aware of. And in part because we just can't be aware of everybody when we're driving, when we're at the store, when we're in a big gathering, which if you can remember, we used to do those, where there's lots of people, we simply cannot be totally aware at any deep level of everybody. But those with whom we're in relationship with, of course, we have to be aware of them. We can't be in relationship with a person that we're not aware of. And that might sound really simple or fundamental, but we all know with even our closest relationships, there are times when we are simply not aware of the other person. I know in marriages, that's a big thing we talk about, right? You have to be aware of the person, but sometimes we get so focused on our own agenda, on our own things, that we're just not aware of any of other people around us. And sometimes that can be really hurtful, especially in our close relationships. But certainly it will not help us to build relationships if we're not aware of the people around us. And certainly with the Holy Spirit, it's the same. We're not aware that he's with us, of course. We will not build any relationship with him. Once we're aware of people, of course, we have to be able to trust the person. If we don't trust a person, trust is the foundation of all relationships, at least relationships that have any depth to them. If we don't trust the person, we will always be protecting ourselves. We will always be pushing them away. And we'll use our communication, our words, our demeanor to communicate and maintain distance rather than closeness. So even if we're talking together, we use our words and our attitudes to keep us separate because we don't really trust what will happen if the person gets close. And that's, of course, the same with God and with our relationship with the Holy Spirit. If we don't trust him, then there's no way that we're going to be able to build our relationship with him. We'll always be acting out of fear rather than love. Fear keeps us distant and love draws us in. So that this ability to trust is very important as we think about this cultivating relationship with the Holy Spirit. And the last one is then when we trust somebody enough, we're aware of them, we trust them, we actually open ourselves to be changed and influenced by them. And we know that every relationship that we're in will change us at some level. Again, if it has any depth, I mean, I'm not just talking about like, how are you, or, you know, talking about things very surfacey, but relationships that we allow inside our hearts will change us in some way. And that's the beauty of relationships, that we grow and are changed. And certainly on human relationships, hopefully that change is mutual at some level. The Holy Spirit doesn't need to be changed. He does the changing in us, and we are changed into his into his likeness. So this is not the scientific three stages of relationship. These are just some thoughts as I think about how do we cultivate this relationship with people, but also with the Holy Spirit. So we're just going to do three simple activities now that are going to invite us to think about these three things in relationship with the Holy Spirit. Just some brief exercises. So the first one is going to be thinking about our awareness of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to give a minute or two of just quiet. And what we're going to do is I just want you to spend time thanking God for the Holy Spirit's presence with you. And as you do that, just be aware of your level of appreciation for his presence. Now, that might sound a little weird, but you know, sometimes when we do these kind of directed activities, if we enter into them, sometimes we can do them like, all right, God, thank you for your Spirit's presence with me. But if we realize we really aren't thankful and we don't even know what that presence is, really. And that's not it's just a reality of doing a directed activity. And so I want you just to be aware of your level of awareness and appreciation, because once we're aware of that, then that can grow in us as we are thankful. So let's just spend a couple minutes, a minute maybe, just in your own heart, just lift up your thanks to God for the Holy Spirit's presence with you as a way of cultivating that awareness together. So let's just quietly, let's thank God for the Holy Spirit's presence. Come back together. And I just want to encourage you to continue to make that a practice. That's one simple way that we can really help our own awareness of the Holy Spirit with us. It's just taking time at some point in our day to just say, thank you. Thank you, God, that you sent the Holy Spirit and that he's with us. Jesus said that it's better for him to leave the earth so that the Holy Spirit would come. If you can imagine that having the Holy Spirit with us is better than if Jesus himself was here on earth. That's pretty amazing. That means that it's a great gift. And we can continue to remind ourselves of that just by being thankful. God, thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit with us. And what that does is it attunes us to his presence. Just like when we focus on a person, and that allows us to build a relationship with them. It's the same as we focus our hearts on the Holy Spirit. So we continue to grow in our awareness of the Holy Spirit. All right, that's one level. Going a little deeper, this trust level. What's our level of trust in the Holy Spirit? And we want to just reflect on that together by filling in the blanks, kind of like we did at the beginning of the sermon. But I don't have any answers for you this time. Just reaffirming our trust in the Holy Spirit and his leading in our lives. And so you could do one of these sentences or both of these sentences. Of course, trust is something that comes as it comes deeper and deeper as we get to know a person. And the same is true with God. We have one level of trust when we decide to follow Jesus, but then hopefully our trust is continually growing as we interact with him and as we see him at work. So we can say, Holy Spirit, I trust you because I've seen you work, because I know your word, because I've felt your encouragement, love in my life, because I've heard you speak through others. There's different experiences in our lives that grow our trust in the Holy Spirit. Or maybe we could say, Holy Spirit, it's hard for me to trust you because this disappointing situation, or it's confusing for me, or this kind of interaction allows us to understand our level of trust and can allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into even deeper levels of trust. So we could spend days thinking through these things. We're not going to do that. We're just going to take a minute. And I want you to choose one of these sentences or both of them to just lift up to the Holy Spirit and finish them with what's in your heart as you think about your trust in the Holy Spirit with you and leading you. All right, so let's take a minute and feel free to finish one of these sentences in conversation with the Holy Spirit. Right, let's come back together here. And the last one, then, even deeper yet, is to be changed. And obviously, these are all fit together. But the last verse in our passage, verse 16 says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him?" And it makes this incredible statement, but we have the mind of Christ. And this is what an incredible picture of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Again, this idea of taking the thoughts that are in the Father and Jesus' heart and revealing them to us as his children. We have the mind of Christ. Now, of course, we have our mind too. And our mind, hopefully the whole walk of discipleship is our mind being transformed to be more and more like the mind of Christ. So the thoughts that are in God's heart are also the thoughts that are in our heart. And we're able to discern between the thoughts that are from God and the thoughts that are not. Just this morning, we don't really have enough time to enter into this well, the first level, just being aware, giving thanks. Another level of communicating our trust. And I just like to end with a time to listen for what God would say to us about this. And with this simple question, we're going to take a minute to reflect. Holy Spirit, how do you want to change my thoughts to be more like Jesus' thoughts? So there's a lot of thoughts, certainly in my mind, that are not in Jesus' mind, but there's less in my mind today than there was a year or two ago, but there's still a lot that needs to be rewired and rechanged in my mind as I grow as a follower of Jesus. And maybe it's easy to think of ways that, that's not like Jesus, that thought isn't like Jesus, that thought. But we don't want to just choose ourselves, because the Holy Spirit can identify what is the next thought that we need to change. And as we allow him to lead us, we don't get overwhelmed thinking, oh, there's so much I need to change. We just hear, what is the next step that God wants to change? What is the next thought pattern? What is the next perspective? What is the next reaction that the Holy Spirit wants to change so it becomes more like the thought patterns of Jesus, more like the perspective of Jesus, more like the reactions of Jesus? So let's just sit with that. With that thought, I just encourage you just to speak that out in your heart, or whisper or loud, I can't hear you. Holy Spirit, how do you want to change my thoughts to be more like Jesus' thoughts? And then just listen. What might he say to you this morning about this one? So I'll just pray that out for us, and then we'll just take a second to listen. Holy Spirit, how do you want to change our thoughts this morning to be more like Jesus' thoughts? All right, let's come back together. All right, well, these were just three simple exercises to cultivate, again, our awareness and appreciation for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we did them quickly, but these are questions and exercises that we can continue to come back to continue to find those tools that help us to grow in our awareness and appreciation for the Holy Spirit. So I encourage you sometime this week to sit again and walk through these three exercises even more than once, because the more that we sit with these things, the more the Holy Spirit can lead us deeper into his presence and into his life. But as we usually do, I love to hear Any just very short kind of phrases, thoughts, questions that you have as we from this morning? What anything you felt like God was speaking or that you're thinking or feeling, even if it's not a complete thought or it doesn't make total sense? We have these spaces to help each other think through these things. So anybody have anything you'd like to share? Again, you can chat it in, or you can unmute yourself and share it.